studios.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brabelkamp Show.
Don't think for a minute that I wasn't listening there, Scott Unash. Somebody's going to have to put a dollar in the swear jar. You're listening to the Todd Brabelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Alex back with us today. Jeff Downing sitting in the penalty box and the producer's chair. Till 7 o'clock tonight when we'll bring you ESPN programming on two of our three frequencies. That'd be 106.3 FM in Iowa City and 1600 AM, the main gym all across eastern Iowa. 107.5 FM listeners, you're going to get Minnesota Twins baseball tonight as we take you to the Twins Radio Network. Minnesota taking on the Cleveland Indians. Byron Buxton out of the lineup once again for the Twins. Again, that's coming up at the end of the show. As for today's program, we've got a good one for you. Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com is going to be with us in hour number two as we set our sights on Friday night at Kinnick Stadium as the Hawkeyes close out spring practices with, I don't know what we're calling it. Is it a scrimmage? Is it a game? Is it a practice with an autograph session with who knows what it is? Because they've gone away from the Greg Davis scoring system. But I have a feeling, an inkling, we're going to see a little bit more of an actual game this year than we have in the past. Just a hunch. We'll see if it comes to fruition or not. Dan Hayes from CSN Chicago will be with us at 5:30 tonight as well. We'll talk about the Chicago team that didn't get swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates over the weekend. That would be the White Sox. Dan was supposed to be with us last week, and a scheduling conflict came up, so we rebooked him for today at 5:30. We will talk about the Cubs and the Cardinals, both teams getting swept over the weekend. Chicago falling to the Pirates at home in three games, and the Cardinals with an absolutely abysmal road trip to New York. Adam Wainwright falling to 0-3 on the season. It's all part of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, and that is, what was more surprising over the weekend? The Bulls winning Game 1 of the NBA playoff series with the Boston Celtics. They beat the number one seed. I know Scott Unash talked a little bit about that Friday when we were at Coach's Corner for Love It or Leave It. Then you've got the two baseball options, the Cubs getting swept by the Pirates, Yankees sweeping the Cardinals, or the Blackhawks falling to 0-2 against the Nashville Predators. Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. You can find them on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Right now, 50% of the vote going to the Pirates sweeping the Cubs. I would say it's the Blackhawks not only falling behind the Predators 2-0, Alex, but not scoring a goal in the process.
At home. It is absolutely unbelievable what is transpiring in that series. Nashville going home, where that's going to be a raucous building. And the Chicago Blackhawks have come back so many times during this, let's call it what it is, this dynasty run that they have put together. But this is a Nashville team that has been tormented by the Blackhawks for so long. Going home into their home arena this evening, it's, like I said, a raucous environment. And if the Hawks are going to come back, it's going to take one of their best efforts. You just figure with Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and Artem Anisimov and Ryan Hartman and the amount of firepower they have offensively, they'd almost run into a goal.
You would think. I know I sound like a frustrated fan here, but guess what? That's what I am. I was watching the game Saturday night at the Colonels game, which got rained out about two-thirds of the way through, and we'll get to that in just a bit because it was entertaining, and we do have a little bit of Midwest League baseball news for you tonight. But I was upstairs, and I had the TV on in the room that I was in, and I was watching the I wasn't watching the Blackhawks. My son was watching the Blackhawks. He likes watching the TV. I like watching the actual baseball that's in front of me. And he was actually more entertained, and I'm sure he wasn't the only television viewer, when they cut away on NBC and KWWL went to the storm coverage, because the storm coverage, there was a lot of red on the radar Saturday night, and all the colors. He was sitting there in his chair staring up at the TV. He thought that was very interesting, far more entertaining than the actual hockey game. But rough going for the Blackhawks. Now, you mentioned the dynasty. This is a little fun fact. John Dietz from the Daily Herald in Arlington Heights passed along on Twitter that I wanted to make sure that I got correct. But the last time that the Blackhawks were down 0-2 and lost both games at home, you've got to go all the way back pre-dynasty to 1995 when they trailed the Maple Leafs 2-0. And guess what happened? Chicago won that series in 7 games. And you mentioned some of the other comebacks, and we'll talk about this later on in the program, but the Blackhawks do have a history of coming from behind to win series. We'll see what they do tonight. Game 3 is on tap, along with 3 others in the NHL. You've got the Senators and the Bruins that are tied at 1 game apiece, as are the Caps and the Maple Leafs. And then Anaheim holds a 2-0 advantage on Calgary. NBA playoffs tonight, Cavaliers, Pacers, game 2 of that series. And then San Antonio is up 1-0 on the Memphis Grizzlies. Speaking of Memphis, how was your trip?
It was great. It's obviously good to be back in Eastern Iowa, but I got to check out a Memphis Redbirds game for the first time.
AutoZone Park, I've never been, but I understand it's one of the nicer AAA stadiums in the country.
It's outstanding. And for anybody that makes it down to Memphis, it's in one of the nicer areas of Memphis. They've developed that area around the ballpark very well. It's convenient. And Julio Urias was on the mound for the Oklahoma City Dodgers. And one of our family friends from high school is batting third and playing first base for the Memphis Redbirds. So it was a great night, beautiful weather. Back to reality here today, though. It's good to be back.
And how did Mr. Voigt do? Luke Voigt, right? Is his name?
Yes.
The name didn't ring a bell with me, and I remember why, because I went back and I looked him up, and he skipped the Midwest League. He didn't play in Peoria. So yeah,
that's right. So he went straight to the Florida State League. But Julio Urias was on that night. I think he went 0-for-4. It wasn't a great night at the plate, but he's off to a good start. He's hitting .360 with 3 home runs on the season. So let's hope he can keep that going. Like I said, hitting in that 3 spot. Kind of a log jam at first base in the Cardinals system, though.
A little bit, right? You've got Matt Carpenter, who's playing first base at the big league level. Matt Adams is a first baseman. Who else am I forgetting?
Well, those two right there. And okay. They've moved Matt Adams to left field.
Temporarily. I think you and I can both agree that that is not a long-term solution.
I hope not. We'll talk about the Cardinals later.
Yeah, getting a lot of traction on the baseball side of things on the poll question. We also have somebody pointing out the results of the Blues.
Thank you, 25-29.
Yes, the St. Louis Blues. Man, Jake Allen, is that the young man who's
he is
playing goal? Woo.
Greg Wyshynski came on this program and picked the Wild.
He's in my doghouse.
He picked the Wild.
Didn't he also pick the Predators?
He
over
picked
the
Predators, so I'll give him that. But he picked the Wild, and for this reason, and I quote, Jake Allen is not a playoff goalie.
Yeah. Sometimes your words will come back to haunt you.
I'm not going to blame him,
because
I'm sure.
Especially when they're out there on podcasts where everybody can go back and listen to them. If you're a baseball fan, though, to circle back here 15 minutes after the hour, and you are concerned about your team right now, I'd like to point out that the leaders in the National League in the divisions are the Miami Marlins. They're actually tied with the Nationals, the Cincinnati Reds, and the Colorado Rockies. If any of those three teams are still in first place in, let's call it July 4th, and then we can talk. There's a lot of baseball left to be played. Baltimore leads the American League East. Detroit in the Central, that one's not going to hold up. And Houston, the leader in the American League West.
Yeah, as a Cubs, for Cubs fans out there, I know the guys on the gym class were talking about it. I don't think most of them are panicking, or any of them are panicking.
Oh, no, there are a lot of fans who are panicking.
At 6-6?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You think the Cincinnati Reds are going to win that division?
No, absolutely not.
I think
the Cubs are going to win the division.
I think the Cubs are going to win the division. Now, if you're a St. Louis Cardinal fan, that's different. But
I think the runners in scoring position issue is going to resolve itself. I think they've got too much firepower in that lineup to continue having those issues. But I said at the beginning of the year that I wasn't necessarily a huge fan of the bullpen. And Brian Dunsing over the weekend, the former Minnesota reliever, looked awful. And I don't know how much gas Koji Uehara has left in his gas can, but I do know that he left a trail of it from the bullpen all the way to the mound. So we'll see exactly what goes on. Now, they've had bullpen issues in the past, the last couple seasons this time of year, and they've worked themselves out. They've figured things out. And they've gotten better moving forward, but no panic button yet. But the bullpen at the beginning of the year was my number one issue. There are some fans, though, that are out on the ledge. This team is 6-6. They won the World Series last year for the first time in 108 years. Let them have a 6-6 start. Try to enjoy April baseball, because if you're getting this worked up now, I can't imagine what you're going to be like in July, August, September, October, November, maybe. How late is it? I haven't set the timetable for the World Series yet. The schedule hasn't come out. I'm sure it'll carry over into November again this year as it did last year if the series goes 7 games. But let's just pump the brakes on the panic button a little bit. It is, of course, a big week here in eastern Iowa. The Hawkeyes, as we mentioned, having their spring game Friday night at Kinnick Stadium. And we're going to, as the week goes along here, take a look at various positions of interest this spring for the Hawkeyes. They're either a question mark or they're a strength heading into next year. And I think we're looking today at the offensive lines and the defensive lines, doing them together, coming up at the bottom of the hour in a couple minutes, both projected to very much be strengths for this team moving forward. So feel free to join in the discussion on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, 319-366-1600. Everyone wondered where you were at Friday at the coach's quarter.
Did
in
they
Iowa
actually?
City.
Or
they did. They thought maybe I had driven a third co-host off and established a new personal record in doing so. I said, no, Alex, just he's got the day off. He's going. How many pancakes did Gabe have, your brother, during the spring? Does Memphis play an actual spring game, or are they like Iowa where it's sort of a glorified practice?
They play a spring game. They do two quarters, two 15-minute quarters, and then they do a little bit of special teams work, and they did some ones against twos, twos against ones, offense, defense, and they switch it up a little bit. They'll get some different looks, and there are some different personnel packages. And at the end, and I really appreciated this, Todd, at the end of the spring game, they had a four series sequence where the teams were coached by two writers, Tom Shad of the Commercial Appeal and Gary Parrish of CBS Sports.
I think
coached the
I've
teams.
Seen teams do this before, where they've allowed writers to either draw up a play, call a play, or whatever. And what were the results?
Team Gary Parrish won. Have you heard of Gary Parrish?
Yeah, I read his stuff. I follow him on Twitter, and national writer for CBS. Good guy, I think. I don't know him personally, but I read his stuff.
Yeah, and Tom Shad, who covers the Memphis Tiger football team for the Commercial Appeal, which is the Memphis newspaper, his team lost on a failed two-point conversion. But yeah, I always like when they get the writers involved, the people that cover the team involved, because it kind of shows that the program appreciates what they do.
Now, that's what they did in Memphis, getting the writers and the media involved. Louisville took a little bit of a different tact with its spring game. We'll tell you what Bobby Petrino and the Cardinals did or didn't do over the weekend that at least one TV station was able to have some fun with. 20 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock, little Hawkeye football talk on the way for you coming up in 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere. First, Midwest One Bank Big Board Update of the Week is on the way next.
Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative is committed to providing electricity that's reliable, cost-effective, and sustainable. Did you know nearly 60% of their electricity comes from emission and carbon-free resources? That minimizes the impact on our natural environment, which is good for everybody. How does Linn County REC do this? With their generation mix. It's a diverse fuel mix of coal, nuclear, hydro, landfill gas generation, wind, solar, natural gas, and oil energy resources. When Linn County REC members switch on a light or the computer, they know they're using more sustainable and environmentally friendly power. And with such a variety of energy sources in the mix, it also means increased reliability across a broad spectrum of conditions, including severe weather here in Iowa. The generation mix is good stuff, and just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
As GIs returned from overseas and families began to boom, young Willa Dickens began honing his watchmaking craft at a highly regarded jewelry store on a bustling corner in downtown Iowa City. He worked steadily behind his jeweler's glass, eventually taking over the business. And as his reputation grew, so did his family. Sons Terry and Tim spent afternoons at his knee, learning about gemstones, precious metals, and most importantly, how to properly treat a customer. And as the decades passed, the three of them, along with a remarkably dedicated staff of friends, as well as Willa's granddaughter Kate, continued the tradition of excellence and integrity begun at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers in 1947. Now, as they celebrate their 70th year, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say congratulations to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Associated Materials, one of the largest window manufacturers in the USA, has temp to hire first and second shift production positions open right now in Cedar Rapids. Work first shift and enjoy warm weather nights off, or sleep in and work second shift. With their new progressive pay increases, you'll get a raise every 30 days. And after 90 days on the job, first shift earns $12 an hour and second shift earns $13. Interested? Call 319-390-0600. 319-390-0600.
Every deck is made for standing on, but there's only one that's always had a way of standing out. So if you're looking to bring more style, comfort, and creativity to your life outdoors, call on the brand that's known for making the most in outdoor living. From decking, railing, and lighting to furniture, fencing, and framing, at Trex, we're engineering what's next in outdoor living. To learn more about all of the outdoor solutions Trex has to offer, call 1-800-289-TREX or visit trex.com. That's T-R-E-X.com.
424, another week of the Todd Brommelkamp Show underway. Alex Kuhn with me, as well as Jeff Downing. And you're part of the program as well. Pick up the phone or give us a text, 319-366-1600. And we mentioned the Louisville story, which has been making its way around social media. I can't imagine that they would ever do this at Iowa or Iowa State or you and I. But Louisville, for whatever reason, over the weekend, and I'm trying to ascertain whether this was just one TV station in particular or whether they embargoed all of the TV stations and media outlets covering the Louisville spring game. But at least one TV station, WLKY, was not allowed to video any footage from the Louisville spring game. So the intrepid sports staff there at the TV station aired artists' renderings of the top plays of the day, as well as Louisville head coach Bobby Petrino and his reaction afterwards. Alex is seeing this, I believe, for the first time.
Not only artists' renderings.
They're stick figure drawings.
It
looks like a 7 or 8 year old, if you told them, draw this, what you would get. Now, I guess, you know, there were some big plays, but they weren't allowed to show any of the footage. So they got creative. We'll have to do that here sometimes. Sometimes we have issues getting clearance on various audio clips. So maybe we could have somebody recreate those moments. Like the old-time baseball games, when the announcers used to sit at the ticker and they would read the plays off of the ticker and then recreate the games as if they were there. Ronald Reagan did that at WHO Radio in Des Moines for Cubs games, among others, way back in the day. before he went on to become a movie star.
I think that's a good idea. We'd have to put him on our Facebook or Twitter page.
He did some other things too, but I don't know the reasoning behind that. Why would you not want footage of your spring game? Is he worried that whoever's on Louisville's schedule next year is going to dissect this like it's the Zapruder film over and over again? The only story out there is this one TV station, because they made fun of Louisville by doing this. So I don't know whether it was the other media outlets or not, but at least they were able to take lemons and make lemonade out of it.
Yeah, I don't understand why you wouldn't allow video of it, especially since most teams at that level, Florida State had theirs on ESPN.
They did not allow TV cameras at their spring game, period.
Okay, so that's just, but it was, that's paranoia.
It was streamed on. Well, why would Bobby Petrino be paranoid about anything?
I don't know.
What does Bobby Petrino have to worry about? He's one of the good guys in college sports.
Yeah, great guy. did you just say it was streamed online?
Yes, but they were not allowed to air any of the highlights.
I don't know. I don't even have a theory.
My guess
for that.
Is, I have a theory. My guess is the University of Louisville claims that they own the footage, and then were probably either keeping it to themselves or they were asking money.
They were probably charging for people to watch the stream,
probably,
spring game.
And then probably trying. That'll be the next era that we go into, is charging the media to cover games or air footage. It's coming, would be my guess.
I really hope not, but, and for those, I love Memphis football. I would never hope that anybody would have to pay to watch what I saw on Friday.
Do you know what else is coming, Alex?
I do.
A Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Look at this. The guy takes one day of vacation. He comes back sharp as a tack. Former Iowa Deputy Athletics Director Gene Taylor was officially introduced as the new athletic director at Kansas State this morning. Taylor called KSU a great institution with a proud athletic tradition. And he also said he's interested in getting to know at least one other former University of Iowa employee working in Manhattan. That would be head coach Bill Snyder. Former Iowa baseball player Matt Dermody is back in the big leagues with the Toronto Blue Jays. The left-hander was recalled from AAA Buffalo on Sunday when the Jays placed starting pitcher Aaron Sanchez on the 10-day disabled list. Didn't go so well for Dermody. He was roughed up for 5 runs in 1/3 of an inning yesterday as Toronto lost to Baltimore 11-4. Speaking of Iowa baseball, the Hawkeyes took 2 of 3 from Nebraska over the weekend but failed to sweep the Huskers as Nebraska won 8-6 yesterday. Iowa took the lead with 2 runs in the top of the 8th inning, but the Huskers answered with 3 in the bottom half, then turned things over to Luis Alvarado, who closed the door in the 9th. Iowa will travel to Peoria Wednesday to face Bradley. And the Cedar Rapids Colonels open a 3-game series at Peoria tonight. First pitch at Dozier Park is set for 6:30. The entire Midwest League was off on Sunday. That means the Colonels will be playing their first game since Saturday's rain-shortened 6-0 loss to Wisconsin. Speaking of Midwest League baseball, this is kind of cool. In Clinton tonight, the Lumber Kings are going to be playing the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, who were just here in Cedar Rapids. But the Timber Rattlers have somebody new with them that was not on their roster during the Cedar Rapids series. Brewers pitcher Matt Garza is going to make a rehab start tonight against the Lumber Kings at 6:30.
When was the last big rehab appearance here in Cedar Rapids?
We had Joe Mauer a couple years ago.
That's right.
And the Twins have also sent Ricky Nolasco.
I was there for that
a couple
that
times.
Appearance.
He's made 2 appearances, Nolasco has. And then the only other Twins player to come through with Cedar Rapids was Mike Pelfrey. The pitcher was here a couple years ago. But Joe Mauer, that was big. The Star Tribune had me write a story, which wound up, they ran it on the front page of the newspaper in the Twin Cities about Joe Mauer's rehab appearance down here. And that's when I found out how much Twins fans really don't like Joe Mauer in the present day. They liked him when he was young. They liked him when he was hitting well and winning awards.
And hitting home runs.
Then he got the contract extension and he got the concussion and he started aging and he no longer catches. And boy, that was an eye-opener, reading the comments. It's the only time in my life that I've ever actually looked forward to reading the comments on a story that I've written. And it was just Twins fans bashing Joe Mauer like he was a pinata. But Matt Garza, it's pretty cool. I saw Mike Boddicker make a rehab appearance in Clinton. It was the many, many years ago. I think it was 1993 or 94. It wound up being Mike Boddicker's last appearance in a baseball uniform, a major league or minor league. He wound up retiring after that rehab start. So a little bit of Midwest League baseball news to pass along there. We're going to be talking Hawkeye football coming up in just a few minutes. The offensive line and the defensive line in pretty good shape this spring, and we're going to get to take a look at them Friday. Speaking of, join us pre-scrimmage, pre-practice, if you will. On Friday, we're going to be at the Coach's Corner in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. It's going to be another KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire, and we're going to use Friday's Todd Brommelkamp show as sort of a pregame, if you will, to get you ready for spring football. We're going to start next talking offensive line and defensive line, so don't go anywhere, especially if you're a Hawkeye fan. Join the conversation, 366-1600.
We're going to send you to a bottom-of-the-hour sports center. It's being brought to you by Linder Tire Service, right on their reputation for integrity and outstanding personal service in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with a set of new tires from Linder Tire.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Download and subscribe to the Jalen and Jacoby podcast on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. After missing a game-winning shot at the buzzer in Game 1, the Pacers will play Game 2 in Cleveland tonight against the Cavaliers. We've got the game here on ESPN Radio with our coverage starting at 6 Eastern. LeBron James needs 37 points to pass Kobe Bryant into third place on the all-time playoff scoring list. Also tonight, Game 2 for the Spurs and Grizzlies. San Antonio took Game 1 in a blowout. The Panthers signed defensive lineman Kawan Short to a 5-year, $80 million contract. He'll get $40 million over the first 2 years. The team had used the franchise tag on Short. The Texans, meanwhile, will sign wideout Andre Johnson to a one-day contract so he can retire from the team. Johnson played 12 years for the Texans. He is the franchise leader in most of the receiving categories. Baseball today, a matinee in Boston. The Red Sox beat the Rays 4-3. First win of the season for knuckleballer Steven Wright. Pirates and Cardinals in St. Louis, 7 Eastern time on ESPN.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you 3. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. 3 ways you could save 15% or more.
All right, guys, step up your game and save at GNC. Make sure you're up to every test. Testosterone levels impact nearly every part of men's lives, and T levels decline as men age. Testosterone support begins here. Find new and exclusive testosterone products you can only get at GNC and innovations from top brands like Nugenix, Ultimate Testosterone, and Cellucor P6 Extreme. We're talking enhanced drive and increased vitality. With GNC, you don't have to wait to maximize your potential. Sale ends May 3rd. Change begins here. Hashtag one new GNC.
It's Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot, where right now, select John Deere mowers come with a free Home Depot gift card worth up to $350. From zero-turn models to the new Excel cutting decks, John Deere gives you a quality cut that won't cut into your downtime. And that free Home Depot gift card puts even more spring in your pocket. Buy a John Deere, get a gift card during Spring Black Friday only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through April 19th in store and online. Gift card via mail-in rebate. See store for details.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Technology shifts, policy changes, new regulations. When it comes to investing, things move quickly, so you need a partner you can trust. At Merrill Lynch, that's been our goal since day one. It's why we explain our services and fees, measure progress around your life and goals, and offer access to resources whenever and however you want. At Merrill Lynch, we're bullish on the future. Yours. Visit ml.com and learn more about Merrill Lynch, an affiliate of Bank of America. Merrill Lynch makes available products and services offered by Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner & Smith Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member SIPC.
Welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. You'll never guess who the hosts of the program are. Jeff Downing sitting on the other side of the glass in the penalty box waiting to hear from you tonight. 319-366-1600. Speaking of hockey, game three of that series between the Blackhawks and the Predators is tonight at Bridgestone Arena in downtown Nashville. That is a relatively late start time for where that game is being played and the two teams involved in that game. I believe it is an 8:30 Central start time tonight. God bless the NHL. Sometimes they just don't get it. They make it difficult. It's going to be a late night for people staying up. Not a terribly late night. It's not like they're starting the game at 9, 10 o'clock, but still 8:30 Central for two teams playing in the Central time zone.
It really doesn't make a lot of sense, especially when you're playing. You know the time zones that are going to be playing. You know that the number one seed in the West, in the Pacific Division, is going to be playing the number four, the two and three. You would think that the San Jose-Edmonton games would be later. The Calgary-Anaheim series would be later, but no.
I always have a hard time remembering whether Nashville is in the Central or Eastern time zones because Tennessee is one of those states in the union that is split, where half of the state is Eastern time and half of it is on Central time. And the last time that I had a connecting flight through Nashville, I looked at my boarding pass and I was either going to be 4 minutes late or I was going to have enough time to get my connecting flight. And I was looking at the various instruments and like the iPad and the watch on the person sitting behind me, and the time kept changing from Eastern time to Central time, and I was just in a world of misery sitting there trying to recall on my previous trips to Nashville what time zone. Nashville is in the Central time zone, and then when you head east, that's when you wind up jumping ahead an hour. So we'll see what the Blackhawks do. Maybe, and I'm not exactly Ernie Shore here, but Eddie Shore, maybe we could score a goal tonight, and that would be a good start. But we'll see. Pekka Rinne has been absolutely fantastic in net so far. I was looking over the weekend to get back on football here. Nebraska held its spring game. They had 78,312 people, the reported attendance at the Nebraska spring game.
And they got to see Tanner Lee, the transfer from Tulane, lead the offense. Yikes. That is a great crowd. I'm being facetious. That's unbelievable.
It's a very loyal fan base.
It really is.
But 78,000 people for a spring game. And I believe, at least they used to, I think Nebraska charges like $5. They used to. I don't know whether there's still a charge involved or not, but impressive.
That would be even more impressive.
None the least, there is no charge Friday for the Hawkeyes. I still don't know what to call this, a spring game, spring scrimmage, whatever it is, because this is about the fourth or fifth iteration of it. When I first was at Iowa as a student, and it was Hayden Fry's last year, they played a traditional spring game. And then, well, I take that back, because the spring of my freshman year would have been Kirk Ferentz's first year. They played a traditional spring game because that's the way that Coach Fry had done things. And then they used the renovation of the Kinnick Stadium area as sort of an excuse to turn it into more of a practice. And then they've never gone back. And now they're sliding back toward playing an actual game, because I think people aren't necessarily interested in watching linemen go through one-on-one drills and receivers catching balls out of a jugs gun. If you want to keep people interested in your program, give them some action to watch, even if it's like a couple of these games over the weekend where it was 52-3, because different schools do things their own way, where it's starters against the number twos, and the starters just go out there and absolutely wax the twos and the threes. But I think we'll see a little bit more actual game-style action on Friday. We're taking a look all week long here on the show at various positions leading up to Friday night. These are areas of either strength or concern for the Hawkeyes. And today, Alex, you being the offensive line guru that you are, I thought we would start on the lines, because when you take a look at Iowa, I think you and I can both agree, and most Hawkeye fans would agree, the offensive and defensive lines look like they're going to be a strength.
They both should be. And we're going to preview four areas, one of strength today, and I'll just let you know three where there are some question marks moving forward. I won't give away which ones they are, but I think a lot of Hawkeye fans can fill in the blanks. But we'll start with the offense.
We're not doing that segment.
Oh, no, that died. Oh, well, not officially. I don't want to.
No, it's more on life support.
Okay.
I don't know. That one may get a facelift.
But the offense and defensive lines, I kind of go back and forth on which one is the bigger strength. And offensively, a lot is going to be on this line, because it's the experience group, it's the productive group, and it has a lot of returning starters. Boone Myers has to move back out to left tackle. He spent last year at left guard, but he 2 years ago he was at left tackle before injuries kind of derailed his season. Keegan Rinder got some opportunities last year. Ike Bodker slides back in at right tackle, and I think Sean Welsh is the best offensive lineman that the Iowa Hawkeyes have. He's not the biggest or the flashiest, but at right guard, he is one of the nastiest players on the field, and I mean that with all sincerity and absolute. That's a great thing for a football player. And then there's James Daniels. Yeah, I'm not making any predictions here, but this might be a guy that has one more season in Iowa City. He has NFL talent. Him sliding to center is going to be interesting. But the way that Brian Ferentz has gotten this unit to be interchangeable, no matter where these guys seem to play on the offensive line, they thrive. There were some issues towards the beginning of last year, but they came together and they won the Joe Moore Award for the nation's most outstanding offensive
Which
line.
Which may be the largest trophy.
It's unbelievable.
In America.
The only way I can describe it is it looks like a full-size piano with some brass or metal figurines up on top. That is a huge... How much do you think that weighs?
I have no idea. But
I wouldn't want to move that thing in there.
I'm glad I didn't have to pay the shipping cost, and I'm also glad that I didn't have to find a location for it or carry it in. This coming from the guy who's talked on the station, not on this program, but on the station before, about how lazy he is when it comes to paying people to move. We go to the furniture store, buy furniture, have somebody else move it. That's what I do.
Do you refuse when
washing
people
machine,
ask you to help them move?
Washing machine, dryer. Oh, yeah.
I do, too. I have made that
no
a thing.
No offense, but the last time that I moved, I got zero help. So when someone comes to me and says, help, and by the way, this isn't a specific situation, and people are going to read into it, he didn't ask me to help him move. But I'm just saying, uh-uh, because I didn't get any help when I moved, I'm not helping you. And that goes for across the board. And it may come off as being selfish and a terrible person, which I am, but come on. We've talked about this ad nauseum here in this programming block, but moving is one of the worst things that you could possibly do as a human being.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's awful. You pack your entire life in boxes, and you never know when you're going to see half the stuff again, if it even makes it to the final destination. And if you, I almost think moving within like 20 minutes is worse than a cross-country move, because then you're doing multiple trips. Well, I've got the truck for the day, but I can make 5 trips and this and that. And good God, no.
Wow.
Not at all.
You're really getting me ready for August when I'm going to have to do that. I cannot wait for that. But
where are you looking in Cedar Rapids? Are you going to stay in Iowa City?
I'm keeping all options open.
Keep all your options open.
Not going to commit. But what I want to do is I want to move to the defensive side of the football, because this is where I think a lot of people get excited
talking
about the defensive line.
That worked out well for the last guy, by the way, keeping options open and not committing, because he didn't have a mortgage to worry about when he had to leave. Look, they've got 9 lettermen coming back on the offensive line. They've got 8 coming back on the defensive line. And there are losses, and you get that every year. But I really think that this is an encouraging sign for the Hawkeyes, because to me, your offense and your defense is only as good as the guys up front, because that's the first line of defense. And for a lot of the Ferentz era, maybe this is just me getting years and everything muddled together, but we're going on year number 19. Sometimes it seemed, okay, when the defensive line is veteran, then the offensive line's a little green. Or when the offensive line is veteran, then the defensive line is a little behind the eight ball. 2017 looks, at least to me, to be one of the few times where the defensive line and the offensive line are relatively on the same trajectory. And that's solid entering the season. Now, we don't know who's going to get hurt or if something wacky is going to happen along the way, but they're in good shape up front.
And you talked about the format of the spring game and Kirk Ferentz's tendencies in practice. The one interesting thing, for better or for worse, you see ones versus ones. Todd, you talked about some programs go one versus twos, and the ones kind of run away with things. On Friday night, you're going to see the best unit on the team go against the next best unit. Now, I don't know which unit is the best, because I go back and forth on this. Right now, maybe the offensive line, but come the fall, when A.J. Epenesa, the 5-star recruit, one of the prize jewel recruits of this Kirk Ferentz era, steps on campus, I think that could change pretty quickly.
A.J. Epenesa, who has one of the longest discus, I believe it's the discus. I know discus or shot put, but it's, I think, the 3rd longest high school discus in the country this year, and it would be the longest collegiate throw, if I saw that correctly. He's an insane athlete.
He's unbelievable.
And he's a guy who, when you read between the lines with listening to Reese Morgan, it certainly sounds like they're going to be able to plug and play A.J. Epenesa somewhere on that defensive line in day one. And he's going to be most likely a 3.5-year starter, 4-year. I don't want to say 4-year starter, because that sort of implies from day one he's starting, which may or may not be the case. But the bottom line is, Iowa's got a good one coming in.
The interesting question is, his freshman year, is he going to be ready to step inside? Because I think eventually he's a guy that's going to be a dominant defensive tackle. And the same question can be asked about Cedar Rapids native Matt Nelson, because Anthony Nelson has secured his spot, and look for him to have a breakout year, because he showed all the signs of a guy that has a lot of natural pass rushing ability, especially for a guy who's 6'7". But Matt Nelson, he might be a guy at 6'7 to slide inside to play some defensive tackle. We didn't see a lot of Cedric Lattimore. You're going to see a lot more of him this year. He's number one on the depth chart at defensive tackle. One thing that this defense hasn't always had, the big edge rushers, the big guys in the middle on the defensive side of the football that can get pressure on the passer, and I think they might have that.
A couple other interesting names on the depth chart, and one that will certainly be familiar to Iowa fans, is Brady Reif, who's the younger brother of Riley Reiff. He's listed at second string left tackle. And Jake Hewlett, who's a senior out of Springville, a local kid who right now is listed as a second string right tackle. But the starters across the front line on the defense, you've got Anthony Nelson at left end with Lattimore at tackle, and then Nathan Budgeta and Parker Hesse, who a year and a half ago got thrown to the fire when Drew Ott was injured and did quite well for himself. That's a veteran group, even though two of the four projected starters are sophomores. That's a good place to start. Now, you can question whether or not they've got tremendous depth there because the guys behind them don't have a ton of experience. But you've got a solid starting four.
And you mentioned the linebackers right there. One through three, the top three linebackers, there is a good amount of experience, especially with Josie Jewell, and we're not going to be able to get to the linebackers in these four position breakdowns because they're not
exactly... We will on Friday.
We'll, on Friday when we're sort of...
It's going to be a hybrid afternoon program slash almost like a pregame for a night that we don't even know whether there's going to be a game.
There's going to be some kind of event at Kinnick Stadium.
Yeah, and we want you to join us at Coach's Corner, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard, for the road trip on Friday, driven by Linder Tire. And we'll get you ready for whatever it is you're going to see at Kinnick Stadium, which, by the way, it is free. We did have a texter, and I confirmed this. It now costs $10 a ticket to go to the Nebraska spring game, with a limited number of $20 club seats available. So,
okay.
Yeah.
75,000 people showed up. And
78,312.
And they paid to get in.
Yep. And look, it's an event year in and year out. 78,312 people. They will not have that. Kinnick Stadium can't hold that many people. But...
Do you think Doug and Daddy were in attendance?
Oh, you know it. You know it. I have not seen the forecast for later this week. Somebody told me earlier today when I was at the bank that today is beautiful. It may rain the rest of the week. So I don't know what that's going to do for Friday. And they'll do it one way or the other. I mean, several years ago, I think 5 years ago, it was snow and sleet and just absolutely a miserable Saturday morning. And we were there at Kinnick Stadium, so they're going to do it rain or shine. It's just a matter of you have a night game or a night start time. I've got to stop calling this a game just in case it doesn't live up to the billing. But night start time on a Friday night, the first time that they've ever done this, it's met at least the people that I've talked to mixed reviews. But we'll see. The one thing that would probably really hinder this would be the weather. And so fingers crossed there. We'll step aside really quick when we come back. We'll squeeze in a Midwest One Bank big board. We'll continue the Hawkeye football talk with Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com coming up in a few minutes.
The real estate market in the Cedar Rapids area is red hot. In a hot market, you can make a lot of money selling your home, but you can also get burned. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty sells your house fast and for more money. Don't get burned in this hot real estate market and leave money on the table because you don't know the ropes. Doug and Pinnacle would be glad to put a sold sign on your home in near record time. Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com.
Hi, I'm Amelia, and at my age of 14, I just don't want to be tied down with any long-term commitments. If computers at your business break, call Network Computer Solutions, and they'll fix the problem quickly and just charge you for the work they do. No contracts are needed that tie you down. You've got plenty of time to worry about commitments later. We have our whole lives ahead of us.
Call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Back with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and Jeff Downing, our associate producer. Jeff looks like he's ready to go play maybe nine, maybe get that evening discount in somewhere. Unlimited golf, I don't know. Looks good. Looks good. I've got my golf shirt on. But
are there any all-you-can-golf places around here?
All-you-can-golf. I don't believe so. But they usually, some places will have a special where if you go at dusk, they'll let you play a flat rate and then golf till your heart's content.
Or
till the sun goes down. How about that? Well, we'll get to this coming up in a little bit. I had somebody invite himself over to my house for Easter dinner yesterday, and then he no-showed. And it wasn't anybody.
Tyler?
No. It wasn't anybody who works or used to work in this building. Strange, I know. Let's go ahead and give you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Former Iowa Deputy Athletic Director Gene Taylor was officially introduced as the new AD at Kansas this morning. Kansas State, I should say. Taylor called KSU a great institution with a proud athletic tradition. He said he's most interested in getting to know another former University of Iowa employee. That would be football coach Bill Snyder, who's going to be retiring here in the next couple years, although Bill Snyder is sort of immortal. Feels like he's going to outlive us all. Former Iowa baseball player Matt Dermody is back in the big leagues with the Toronto Blue Jays. The left-hander who made his Major League debut last year was recalled from AAA Buffalo on Sunday. It didn't go so well for him. He was roughed up for 5 runs in just 1/3 of an inning. For those of you curious, that would have a season ERA of 135 runs. Toronto lost to Baltimore 11-4 on Sunday. The Iowa baseball team took 2 of 3 from Nebraska during its weekend series in Lincoln, but the Huskers prevented a sweep with an 8-6 win yesterday. The Hawkeyes took the lead with 2 runs in the top of the 8th inning, but Nebraska answered with 3 in the bottom half of the frame. Then Luis Alvarado closed the door for the Huskers in the 9th. Iowa will travel to Peoria Wednesday to face Bradley. They could have carpooled with the Cedar Rapids Colonels. They're in Peoria tonight to open a 3-game series at Dozier Park. The first game action for the Colonels since Saturday when they lost to Wisconsin in a rain-shortened 6-0 game. Hawk Talk with, who can't call it that, Hawkeye Talk with Tom Cakert after this.
This is the story of the shaving company called Harry's. In an epic battle of David versus Goliath. In the early 1980s, a child was born. Two of them, actually. Their names were Jeff and Andy. Time went by.